You're on Island Life. I'm Chris. I'm with you through until 9. Waiheke's currently embroiled in not just one, but two reviews of local body governance. Now, we all know about the Royal Commission into Auckland local bodies, and many Waihekeans have responded to that. In fact, they've responded in huge numbers. And we also have a proposal before the Local Government Commission that Waiheke become part of the Thames Coromandel District Council rather than be part of Auckland City. Now, the driving force behind that proposal is Community Board Member Nobelangelo Kiramalis, and he's joining me this morning. Good morning, Nobelangelo. But I want to just turn your mic on. That might be a bit better. Good morning.
Good morning again.
Okay. So, well, first of all, perhaps we'll get you just to outline the proposal as you see it.
Well, it depends how fundamental you want to be, but all New Zealanders have the right, if they're dissatisfied with the council they're with, and the one adjoining is better, to apply to the Local Government Commission to change the boundary, and that's what this is. It's variously called either a boundary change or a transfer of authority.
So specifically, what would come out of this? So there would be a boundary change and Waiheke and Great Barrier become just shift jurisdictions, is that right?
Yes, except for two islands. All of the Hurricane Gulf Islands, the entire Hurricane Gulf Islands ward, except for Rangitoto, because it's an Auckland icon, and Browns Island, because it was a gift to Auckland City in 1955 by Sir Ernest Davis, would, as you say, move. Yeah.
Okay. Now, suppose there's a big difference between secession from Auckland City and joining Thames Coromandel. Basically, we've got two questions there, haven't we? What's come through in the submissions to the Royal Commission on Auckland local body governance is clearly that there is a lot of dissatisfaction on the island with the governance that we're receiving from Auckland City. But does that necessarily equate to a desire to become part of Thames Coromandel?
Well, if you're dissatisfied with Auckland, you have to have something else. The Royal Commission, which is an ad hoc body set up to produce a report to the government, has yet to produce that report. But the process set up in New Zealand law, if you're dissatisfied with the council, is to transfer to another one. The two questions really go together. If you're splitting off one council, you have to be somewhere else. And there are only two possibilities if you're going to split off whatever council you're with, no matter where you are in the country. You can either have a council of your own, or you can be with someone else. Now, in order to have a council of your own in New Zealand law, you need a population of 10,000 or more. And that doesn't apply. So we need to be with someone else, preferably someone of like mind. And that applies to Thames Coromandel.
Now, when you got this whole proposal underway, the Royal Commission was, well, if not underway, at least well signalled. Now, I'm wondering why you didn't favour that as a route to pursue these issues and instead launch down the pathway towards this review by the Local Government Commission.
Well, the Local Government Commission, it's incorrect to call a review. It's a bit more than that. The two commissions, there has been some confusion between what the roles of the two commissions are. But the short answer to that is that whatever comes out of the Royal Commission will still be a city, presumably called Auckland. And one of the problems that we have, the problem in any relationship that is not working as it should be, is a problem of understanding. And a phrase that often comes up on the island is, they just don't get it. And the reason for that is that cities don't understand village, rural, island communities, and vice versa. The 9/10 of any relationship is understanding. And what is expected to come out of the Royal Commission is an even bigger city than what we have at present. This seems to me and many other people a better course.
Now, let's look at that issue of many people. Now, over the last couple of weeks, we've seen a mobilisation, really, of people who oppose this proposal. And many of them would share concerns about Auckland City, but I suppose it would be fair to say that there's many people aghast at the idea of joining Thames Coromandel, when we've seen, obviously, Bill Carrig's open letters, two of them now. We've got John Collings, who's mobilising people to make submissions to the local government commission, which seems like a worthwhile thing to do. We've had various other letters. Now, Waihekians aren't a bunch of people who are afraid to start a group, start a movement. I don't see a mass movement in support of Thames Coromandel. There's no letters to the editor about this. There's no group working on it. So, apart from yourself, who is working on this? Who's driving it?
Well, there are hundreds of co-proposers who signed the application.
But they've disappeared. I mean, are you disappointed about that, that people haven't actually come on board and supported it? Because, you know, as you say, well, there's several hundred people signed that, but now they're nowhere to be seen.
Well, they may be nowhere to be seen by you, but they're not nowhere to be seen by me. They telephone me, but there is always that nice phrase, the silent whatever. But this is not a matter of it's not an opinion poll. This is a legal matter. This is a legal decision made by a quasi-judicial body on evidence. And they have to decide which is the best council under the heading of local government. So it doesn't matter how much flack people throw at it or how much support they throw at it on either side. The decision is made by the local government commission, which is charged in law to go through a series of legal points, and the end result of that is, the statutory aim of that is good local government. I mean, everyone on earth has the right to good local government. We have the right to that in New Zealand law. It's a phrase enshrined in law. And the Local Government Commission is a permanent statutory authority, unlike the temporary Royal Commission, which is really, I'm not trying to insult it, is a kind of consultancy.
But however, that Royal Commission, the difference there is that is about trying to gauge public opinion. So it's, rather than being a judicial process, there has been an attempt there to have some kind of democratic process and have people make input into that. And I'm wondering about why pursue the judicial process ahead of a process which is actually about engaging people in the community, bringing them along board, and having a community mandate.
Well, you're mistaken there. I mean, you're characterising the local government process, commission process, as not being democratic, and the Royal Commission process as being, but that is simply not true. The Royal Commission is charged with investigating, inquiring upon and reporting, and the decision in the end will be made by the government, so it'll be a political decision. Yes, there is democratic input and anybody can make submissions, but what comes out of it is something over which we don't have a great deal of control. On the other hand, the Local Government Commission has to make a decision according to democratic law, so it's the other kind of democratic decision. It's not the kind of democratic decision in which you have a vote, as we did on November the 8th. It's the kind of democratic decision that you get in a court, where the judge, on behalf of the people, is using democratic law to pass sentence on whoever. And this is that kind of process. It is a democratic legal process, and they have to be very careful. The Local Government Commission has to be absolutely scrupulous, and the law in this case is not some dry and dusty thing separated from the people. The first heading that they have to obey, and it's four times in their instructions, is good local government. That is the preeminent phrase, and the next one down is representation. This is all about making sure that people get the best available government, and I really do not frankly understand why people should be so virulently against a process which is designed to give us the best council.
Well,
do people not want the best? Are they afraid of the best?
Well, perhaps it's because they're in the midst of another process where there has been a lot of input. And I mean, as far as I'm aware, other than your own, there was no clamour there to go and join Thames Coromandel. What people were talking about was how they have more autonomy and more say and more power within a wider structure, but linking to the area where we do have a lot of natural affinity and natural links. We have transport links with Auckland City, whereas we don't have that with Thames Coromandel. Why Thames Coromandel? Why not Rodney District, for that matter, why not Christchurch? Why not Whangarei?
Because there are other factors that come into this legal decision, and what it comes down to, for various reasons and various in the Local Government Act 2002, is that it comes down to a choice between two councils, Auckland and Thames Coromandel. That's the reason for that.
But where does that come from? I mean, because Rodney District is as close as Thames Coromandel, and again we probably have easier links and connections with something like Rodney District than we do with Thames Coromandel. I mean, that place is hours away from here.
A ferry is not a council. I mean, you're talking about transport links. As if that was the, and this is something I've heard a great deal, you're talking about transport links as if that was one of the primary considerations about which council we should have.
Well, I think for many people distance. It probably is.
Well, you look at the distance between Great Barrier and Auckland. In order to get to Great Barrier, you either get on a ferry and sit for hours and hours and hours, or you get on a plane and fly for 90 minutes across 110k of territory, most of it water. And when you get there, you find a beach on which the last footprint was a dinosaur with a sign up saying Auckland City. I mean, where in the rest of the world do you have to go through that process to get from one side of the, in quotes, city to the other side? You can poke fun at anything, but this comes down again and again and again. It comes down to the point, the single point, good local government. We all deserve to have the best. We have a process set up in which we can get the best. The process that was set up by the government and the Royal Commission actually ignored the law, because the Local Government Commission is charged with doing exactly that job. If the government wanted to reorganise Auckland, and that's fair enough, what it should have done is to have gone through the process set down in the Local Government Act, where the Local Government Minister says to the Local Government Commission, please reorganise Auckland. But instead of that, what they did is they set up a process where they, the government, have the final word instead of an independent statutory authority.
Okay, so let me ask you this. Should this process of assessing what is good local governance happen over and above the wishes of the people who live in that community? Because, for example, Great Barrier, they're adamant they don't want this. So why should we pursue a process which could end up with a governance structure being imposed on a community that does not wish it?
Well, you're making an assumption there. You're setting up a straw man, and
I'm basing that on the input of the Great Barrier Community Board, which is their democratically elected representatives.
Oh, please!
Well, what do you mean? Oh, please! I mean that's who they voted in as their community board. Their
community board
is speaking as representatives, and they oppose this very, very strongly.
Yes, I know, and I've read the opposition, and it is, please, it is, to put it bluntly, it's specious. And to say that Great Barrier is universally against this is plain nonsense, because signatures were gathered from all three islands, the three main islands here, Great Barrier and Rakino, and to say that Great Barrierites are universally opposed to it is just plain nonsense. Now, the Great Barrier Community Board may have said so, but in saying so, the Great Barrier Community Board has not looked at the facts, it has not done the research, and to put it really bluntly, it has acted outside its statutory duty.
Now, we do need to talk about your response to the people who criticise the idea, because, I mean, you're quite vehement in your response to people. I mean, if we look at your...
That's because I've done the research. I've done an exhaustive amount of research. You don't go into anything like this lightly. This isn't just some wild whim. I have, right from the beginning of my career, been concerned with seeing that things are done well for the sake of real, live human beings. And when the CEO of Auckland City Council, David Rankin, himself describes its performance as only mediocre, then my own assessment of it, based on a great deal of research and a great deal of experience, compared with a huge amount of research into the way Thames Coromandel works, is that you simply have a better council. And on top of that, you have a council which is our kind of council. It fits with the kind of community we are. You don't have to explain things. They get it. Auckland, again and again, as I said before, Auckland is, islanders have said of Auckland, they don't get it. And that's understandable, because cities don't understand village-rural communities and vice versa. We shouldn't be running Auckland.
Now, another question which came from a listener about this is that Waiheke would be a sizable introduction of population into Thames District our Thames Coromandel District Council. How many seats will we get on the council?
Three.
And of a council of how many?
12 in total. At present there are 9.
So that's going to cause, I would imagine, a great deal of concern from the people of that who are in there now.
Why?
Because you've got a new body coming in and taking a quarter of the seats on the council. I mean, do we know what they think about it? Because I'm part of this process, isn't it, that they have to be, that there has to be some kind of gauging of their opinion.
No. You're wrong. This is not an opinion poll.
Right. Now, this is an important point.
This is
though,
submissions.
Yes.
This is submissions. This is fact to find out whether this would be better local government for the community which has made the application and indeed for the wider community. So that exactly that point will be taken into account. That's what the local government is charged with doing, with making sure that the, to put it simply, that the effect is positive. Now, of course, you never get in life, you never get everything, all of the ducks lining up in a row to make it 100% positive. There are always going to be some negatives, but on balance, it has to come down to that phrase, good local government. And the representation thing that you have raised is indeed a very important point, because we have, at present, we have 2.3% of the electorate, and that's only because we have a much greater interest in local body matters than they have on the isthmus. We have a much higher level of registration, about 94% against 70%. If we had the same percentage, it would be 1.9. But if we were with Thames Coromandel, we would have 23%, or if you want real precision, 23.15. We would have 10 times the representation. Instead of having one councillor buried in a council of 20, we would have three councillors in a council of 12, and a council of like mind, people who come from the same kind of community.
Well, that's questionable, though, isn't it? I mean,
no, it is not questionable.
Well, no, well, it is. I mean,
we are a village, rural, island community. They are village, rural, almost island. That's what the word
yes,
peninsula means.
But we're also a community of people who commute and work in a large city.
Well, yes, okay, fine. We have 7,689 people in Waiheke, and 1,000 people commute. That's 6,689 people who do not commute. Please,
no.
I mean, that argument. And a ferry is not a council. A ferry does not create good local government. Where you commute to, where you work and where you live, you don't have to have the same council. What you should have is the council in both places that gives the best in local government to those two places. That's what you should have.
Well,
that is what is enshrined in law, and that is what we have as our birthright.
It is more than 1,000 people, because obviously it's their families and all the rest that goes with that. Now, Auckland City is a place where many people on the island work. It's a place where people go for their entertainment. It's a people where they do their shopping. There is a close connection to that community, and it seems that is at the core of a lot of people's concern about becoming part of a community where they would have to drive for several hours to participate, for example, in those council meetings.
Well, how many times do people go to council meetings? The same applies to the people in Port Jackson. It is not several hours, because I've made the trip several times, and Thames is
about 3 hours by car?
No,
including the time to go from here over to Auckland?
Well, it depends how you go. But the actual driving time from chock to chock from Auckland to Thames is an hour and 20 minutes. Yes, you do have the extra time. But also the timings of the meetings, instead of being starting at 6 o'clock in the evening and running the risk of having to catch the last boat back or missing it altogether, the timings of the meetings in Thames are at 9 o'clock, and Thames is a real pleasant place to spend a few hours.
Well, many people
would
think
but on top of that, on top of that, very few people ever go to council meetings. Most of the business that you have with the council is at the local service centre, which at present is in Belgium Street, and I hope it stays there, and or over the telephone or over the internet, and that will continue. I mean, the people on the peninsula who live in Wangamattar or Port Jackson or Coromandel have exactly the same problem, if you can call it that. I mean, logistics are a part of any rather widely flung community, but it is not a major when it comes down to this business of good local government.
Now, in the last week, we've had Mike Lee from the Auckland Regional Council and Nikki Kaye, MP for Auckland City, both make a call to the minister who oversees this area, saying, let's just hold off on the local government commission process until we've completed the Royal Commission. At least then we know what the comparisons are. Because at the moment, you're comparing Thames District Council with an unknown quantity. Because there will be a change in Auckland governance. So how can that commission make the comparison before the Royal Commission process is complete? Isn't there a lot of sense in holding off? So in your words, you want to compare the systems, you want this commission to come up with the best outcome. They can't do that at present.
Well, if Mike Lee and Nikki Kay had looked at the dates and looked at the closing date for submissions, which is the 20th of April, and looked at the date in which the Royal Commission's report is meant to come out, which is this month, they would have realised that that question is taken care of.
No, and because people need to be able to make submissions on the basis of what comes out of the Royal Commission. There needs to be appropriate time for that to occur.
Yes,
so I'm wondering why you don't support holding off.
This,
because you've talked a lot about the need to make a clear and thorough comparison between the two options. We don't know what the second option is.
And we won't know even when the Royal Commission report comes out, because the government then decides what it's going to do with it.
Even more reason to hold off then, surely.
May I finish? And the change that might come out of the Royal Commission, which will come out of the Royal Commission, I'm sure there will be some sort of change, will not be on the ground until after the next local body election, which means we won't be seeing it until 2011, and it will take a few years to settle down. Now, the Local Government Commission cannot take that long, because it has a certain timeline that it has to follow through. At present, it's in the submissions phase, which in law is 60 days, and that expires on the 20th of April. Now, it has to take certain things into consideration. There's a list of them in the Act, and it can also take into account other things, and it has said, it has addressed that point. Now, I can understand why Nikki Kay would have some qualms, because she got so many votes off the islands that she owes her seat to that. And I admire the woman. She's a good MP, I'm sure. But I can understand her concerns. But this, in order, by going to the minister, they are attempting to use political influence on a quasi-judicial body, and that should not be happening. And they're well aware of that. Now, the Royal Commission report is indeed something that the Local Government Commission will be taking into account. They have the power to look at other matters, apart from what is in the list of things laid down. But I'm not the spokesman for the Local Government Commission. The Local Government Commission, in my experience, and I've had a lot to do with them, obviously, in the last year or so, They play the thing straight down the line, and they have to, because otherwise they can be challenged. So I don't think we need fear that they will mess the thing up.
Now, the question I wanted to come back to was that, you know, things have become relatively heated, I think, in the debate over this over the last little while.
That's why, Hickey.
Yeah. Now, but I just want to talk about your response to that, because it seems to me, reading your blog, remind us of the name of that again, the blog where you're posting your views on the
WaihikiNotes.blogspot.
That's right. Now, I mean, you've been quite vehement about people who've opposed you. So Bill Carrick, you claim, was defamatory. There's a posting about the community board that says they're acting illegally. Why not focus on the issues rather than the people?
I'm not focusing on the people. I'm focusing on the actions. Now, if somebody defames me, I'm going to say so.
How did you find Bill Carrick's letter defamatory? Explain that to me, because I read that and I say, I think, sure, he's opposed to your point of view. He's putting ideas out there, but that didn't read to me as defamation.
Well, perhaps I read it from a slightly different point of view.
Here's your opportunity to explain that.
But I've explained it in detail in my blog. But what
you said in your blog was that it had an overall tone of defamation. What do you mean by that?
Well, I said a little more than that. That's the first line. But I've also said that he has effectively accused me of lying to gain public office by misrepresenting things, and that is simply defamatory. That is just not true.
Well, what he said was that when you were campaigning, that you didn't raise the issue of Thames Coromandel. Now, you have responded to that and said that you found out about it afterwards. Fair enough. He's put his point of view. You've responded with that. That still doesn't equate to defamation. I mean, the thing is that defamation, flinging around those words, serves to put people off engaging in the debate.
Well, it might put him off engaging in the debate, and in my view that... Sorry, I'm getting away from the microphone. And in my view, that would be no bad thing, because that...
So is that your intention when you say
no,
things
no, no,
like
no,
defamation?
No. I mean, I think you're being unreasonably belligerent. I mean, that letter was not debate. And I am, I mean, I admire what George Gardner has done with that newspaper. She's worked hard. It's a good paper. And I am disappointed that they published it, and I'm even more disappointed that I was not given right of reply in that issue. I think that would have been fair. Now, they talked about deadlines. My reaction to that is, why not hold off for a week? But that's, if somebody's writing you a letter, it would be nice to have the opportunity to reply to it. And that that letter, apart from the fact that he voted for me and he talks about the vote count, there's not a single fact in there. It's a lot of scaremongering. And we'll see in a different authority what is thought of it, and we'll rest with that decision.
Yeah, but it still seems that you could respond to those issues without flinging around words like defamation.
If somebody has defamed me, I will use the word. I will use English words as accurately as I am capable of. And that strikes me as defamatory, because it is false. It presents me in a way which is not consistent with the truth.
Well, what he was doing was presenting his honest held opinion. Now, let's look at the community board, who you've said are acting illegally.
Precisely. Yes.
Now, that, to me, probably strays more into the territory of defamation than what Bill Carrick said.
No,
because you're
is...
accusing the community board of being criminals.
Oh, come on. No.
You said they've acted illegally.
No, there's two sorts of law. Thank you very much. Please don't obscure the issue. This is not criminal law we're talking about. I'm talking about the Local Government Act, and I made that perfectly clear.
But again,
and if you're in breach of the Local Government Act, unless it's a particular thing, which this is not, then it's not a criminal thing. I'm simply saying that in what both community boards have done here, they acted outside what the Act requires, and if you acted outside what the Act requires, then you have acted illegally.
Well, wouldn't it be more accurate to say that they simply disagreed with your opinion?
No. It is more than a disagreement. If you have taken an oath of office to do things in a particular way, according in particular to the Local Government Act 2002, and you fail to do that, then you are in breach of your oath and you are in breach of the requirements of the Act, and you are therefore acting illegally.
Well, I don't see how they have done that. They've considered the issue. They've
well, with respect,
with
you haven't looked at the law.
Well, I've looked at this, and they have looked at it. They have made a decision. Their decision is different than yours. That is a different opinion. That's their right. That does not equate acting illegally. These are strong words to throw around.
Well, you are the one who's throwing the strong words around. You are the one who has not done the research. You are the one who has not established the facts. And you are flinging an opinion at me which is not based on the facts. I'm interested in the facts, the facts, the facts, the truth, the truth, the truth.
And saying that they've acted illegally is your opinion.
No, it is not. It is demonstrable and provable. And
in what way?
In what way? Well, there is a list of things that we have to do when any issue comes up. It doesn't matter whether it's the location of a park bench or the biggest issue that's ever come before the community board in 20 years, which council we should be with. We are required to do things in certain ways. It's all laid down in the not dry and dusty law. And it's laid down that way in order to make sure, as far as possible, that the decisions we make will be always made according to the facts, according to the truth, and in the best interests of the community.
But this is, by definition, a subjective area. Making a decision about who will provide the best governance is subjective.
But you're missing the point.
No, I'm not.
Please, you are missing the point.
They have to consider the issues and look at the differences between the forms
of
governance.
That is the point. They did not look. They have not done the exhaustive research necessary to determine which of the two councils is the best. And now they don't have enough time to do it. It takes a long time to figure that out.
Well, simply they've looked at it and they've come to a different decision.
They have not looked at it. They have not done the research. That is the problem. If you are going to make a decision according to the best of your individual skill and judgment, you have to exercise your skill and judgment and do the research, establish the facts, look at the documentation, do the interviews and all of the research that is necessary in order to establish the facts, and they have not done that. They have not just not exercised the best of their skill and judgment, they have not exercise their skill and judgment at all. They have just said, we dissociate ourselves from that, we're not even going to look at it. And there's a whole heap of other stuff in the Local Government Act that I could go through, but I'm not going to bore everybody, but in which they have not done what they have promised to do, what we all promised to do. Now, what I should say before I go on is I'm talking about this issue and this issue only. In many issues, in fact, in most issues, the Community Board does brilliantly. It does exactly what it should do, and it's an entity that one can be proud of being part of. But in this issue, it has not done well. In this issue, it has not done what each of us promised to do. It has not done what the law requires. There's a list of stuff that they have to go through, and they haven't gone through it.
Because they've looked at it. They've assessed the community
viewpoint. No, they have not assessed. If you're going to assess, you have to go through the facts, you have to do the research, and they have not done that.
Well, they haven't done the research in the way that you define it.
They haven't done the research at all, thank you very much. I mean, you are setting up a straw man. You are making a whole lot of assumptions which are simply not true. With the greatest respect to humanity, Chris, you are flinging stuff at me which might sound all very well on air, but it is not consistent with what has actually happened.
Mm. Now, we need to wrap up. What we need to know, do you think you've got any hope of achieving what you want out of this? Do you think it will succeed?
Well, in some measure it will certainly succeed, because there are two possibilities, obviously. One is that the Local Government Commission will say yes, the other that it will say no, after due assessment. But even if it says no, it will have been a useful exercise, because it will have done a number of things. It will have put Auckland City Council under a microscope, which is no bad thing. It will have asked the question which deserves to be asked: are we with the best council?
Which we won't know until we know what we're comparing it with, of course.
Well, I think we can trust the LGC to do its job properly.
But you're not going to be surprised if they turn around and say, considering there is a review of Auckland governance, we can't make a decision on this point. We can't recommend a change.
Well,
surely you're not going to be surprised if that's the outcome.
Well, I think if you were to read the Act, you would find that it would be virtually impossible for them to come out with that conclusion, because that's not what they're charged with doing. I mean, this, as I kept saying, is a process that they have to go through, and they have to stick to certain rules, and what you've just said would not be consistent with those rules.
But there's also a matter of finding a practical course through this, isn't there? I mean, let me quote from something that you said in response to one of the Auckland councillors. Whatever happened to democracy, the right of people to choose their own destiny. Now, why are you pursuing this judicial process so vehemently when we've got another process that we could pursue? I mean, this is something that really I haven't been able to understand about this.
The outcome of the two is very different.
But why not seek a mandate? Why not seek a widespread mandate, community support, and pursue change that way?
Because that's not the process. The process that all New Zealanders have the right to is this process. And Parliament has decided in its wisdom that this is how things are done. And I think that the Local Government Act 2002 is a very good act, actually. It has exactly the right things at its heart. And this process is designed to make sure, by the fairest possible means, that whatever community makes an application under whatever heading, it ends up with what is best for that community. Now, sometimes that doesn't happen, because the Local Government Commission is human, and sometimes they make a mistake. I think they made a mistake in 1989, but that was a different personnel in those days, and the law was different in those days. We've had a change in law since then. But this process is simply designed, you use the word practical, is designed to make sure at a practical level that we get the best in local government. That's all it's about. Why people should be against a process that will result in the best in local government is difficult to understand. But the mandate is, as you call it, this, as I explained before, is the democratic legal process rather than the democratic referendum process. And both are valid in different circumstances, and Parliament has decided that that's what's most valid in this circumstance. So if you don't like it, go to Parliament and get the law changed.
Well, I imagine a lot of people will be putting submissions in, as we would encourage that, obviously, in the lead-up to the 20th of April. And thank you very much for joining us today, Noble Angelo Kiramalis, Community Board Member. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Chris, for the opportunity.